Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us again today. Today is February 24th, 2017, 8 o'clock here in the morning in Eugene, Oregon on the West Coast. And I'm bringing with us another really awesome activist that I've met here in Portland, Oregon through No Nukes Northwest, Nancy Newell. She's been with us once before. She's a long time, she calls herself an everyday activist. I guess that's what we all should be, as an everyday activist, with her particular focus on shutting down nuclear power. So thank you, Nancy, for joining us.
Thank you, Lonnie.
It's really exciting to have you back. So, I guess I could direct this, but do you have any actions that you've been taking action on that you would like to share with us, or any particular ideas on what we ought to be taking action on?
Well, the most
Hello?
Stop its operation today because of the all the risks that are involved in operating that old 32-year-old plant. There are parts they can't even fix.
Excuse me. You're talking about the Columbia Generating Station. You skipped a little bit there. Are you talking about closing the Columbia Generating Station?
Yes, and people in the Northwest don't even know it still exists. They think the Trojan took care of all the nuclear in the Northwest, which
True.
It did not. That was the most recent closure, but we have a real time bomb with that nuclear plant operating on the Columbia River. It's radiating fish as we speak. I mean, people look at it as it's a dormant kind of operation, which it isn't. It's very active health issues.
Hey, Nancy. Look, let me. Your phone is kind of skipping in and out. Can I call you back? You think that would improve it, or do you need to move to a different room or something?
I can try to move to a different room. I'll do that as you're calling me back.
Okay, well, why don't we try you moving around a little bit before I call you right back, see if that helps. Okay, so why don't you pick it up on why the Columbia Generating Station is the most dangerous nuclear power plant in our country?
Well, it's operating, creating waste every day, spewing it into our rivers, it's spewing it into our air. Wildfires nearly got to the reactor itself. They would not have sufficient cooling water to cool it, and we would have another Fukushima because it's a very similar design, and it will melt down. There will be no question that that's what will happen. And yet, still allow it to operate. And there's no reason to, because it costs us way over what four governors set at least 10 years ago. The market test, it had to meet the market test to continue to operate in order to be competitive on the market, and it's not. And we can go to renewables, energy efficiency, And Robert McCullough just came out with a report to that effect. He's one of the leading international experts in energy in the world. And, you know, what is this? A desire to be self-mutilating our people and our environment? What is this? Why is there a problem? It should be shut, period. So we're working on that pretty steadily.
Well, I think the reason they're really doing it, I really believe that they think they're eliminating the population. I'm telling you, I think that this is intentional. I cannot help but think it's intentional. Just to look at the complete sheer regard they have for any, just imagine this as a premise, to justify expanding their nuclear power plants. The NRC on their website page accepts that for every 2 rads in the air, we are going to get 32,000 extra cancers and 225,000 birth defects. Or, you know, this is a premise. We allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and the odd thing is that we have one of the largest runnings in the country of women. Run for the cure, race for the cure, every summer, and people don't even talk about that plant and why aren't you preventing cancer by closing it down and taking care of the waste?
Well, isn't that one of their wins, though, Nancy, is that they have gotten people to just accept cancer, accept death. I did this reading. Let me share with you. I did not expect this to happen, but I pulled it out. I just read it last night. It comes from this reading I'm doing on my YouTube channel called Human Radiation Studies, Remembering the Early Years, Oral History of Dr. John W. Goffman, conducted December 20th, 1994, by the United States Department of Energy. It's a few sentences. This was him thinking to himself after he worked in the lab and two scientists popped their head in and said, "Hey, man, you're doing great work." He's like, "Good, maybe you guys can help us out." And he's like, "Heck," they were like, no, we're not going to help you. You work for the university, so you're safe. If we helped you, they'd slice our throats. There's no way we could actually help you and have our name attached to this. This is what he says. Look, he was talking to himself. He said, "Look, this is a slave empire. If you never find radiation harmful, or if you find huge doses harmful, nobody worries you. That doesn't worry the commission. They can see that. But start to find that low doses are harmful and they're going to fight you every step of the way. They don't give two hoots if that kills millions of people or billions. They're going to fight to preserve the empire. The bureaucratic empire and the bureaucrats cannot tolerate radiation to be harmful." That's what he was saying to himself. And that it is astounding. What they're doing is they are, this is why James, that guy Kaneka, he writes for Forbes magazine. That article that you referenced on James McCullough, he immediately came out within a week. Forbes had out this article saying he was delusional, that he had, you know, not really understood it, and that he was going point by point on his facts to try to doing the double talk. You know how they do.
Well, you know, they're the ones that said too cheap to meter when they started the Washington Public Power Supply System, which would have 5 reactors in the Northwest. Yeah. I mean, these are the people that will be in total denial, lie through their teeth, get expensive ties to look good, and that's all that's valuable on their body, is if you call that valuable, because they are liars. They are getting a lot of public money to be liars, and the lies continue. I mean, the small modular reactor promotion by the state of Oregon at Corvallis is outrageous.
Yes,
outrageous.
It is.
For global warming purposes to slow it down. What in the world does the state of Oregon think they're doing? What a waste of time and people's money. And I've got radiation from effects from the Three Mile Island. I was in that accident. I was about 30 miles out. And we had to get people into the Suffolk County Legislature telling us the truth on cow's skin coming off during a radioactive accident. And I have recurrence of certain illnesses. And luckily, I have very bright medical people in the naturopathic field here that take care of a lot of it with supplements that are expensive and are not covered by insurance. But I still survive. And I think part of it that's keeping me alive is to change the craziness, to stop this craziness. It's got to end.
I did not know that you lived through Three Mile Island, Nancy. That's amazing. This is why, like, you've seen this happen. You've lived through a nuclear meltdown within the 50-mile zone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Something that you said that I was a young kid and I lived on the West Coast. I really, my experience with people who had that is not near to me. So I have a question to ask you. You just said something about you had to go to the legislature to get answers. Like, you're telling me that the NRC, I guess it was the AEC then, and the EPA and these people did not tell you that the cow's skin falling off was caused by the nuclear power plant? They didn't warn people?
We brought in our own film. We got local people to come in. At that time, I was living in Suffolk County, but I had passed through the area when the accident happened, irony of ironies. And, we had to get ourselves, these people, get organized, and they came in, and they brought the footage. So it was really provocative testimony, and we prevented from the Shoreham nuclear plant. They had the gall, Lilco had the gall to keep building it, even though they knew that we didn't want it. We got the Governor Mario Cuomo behind us. We were just looking for solutions with other energy replacements for the future, which was easy. And we had tremendous help from Arjun Makajani and from Arnie Gunderson of Fair Winds, who I found out 40 years later that Arnie was opposite me. He was working for the group that was promoting the Shoreham nuclear plant, and he got off it when he realized how many lies and how much they mislead the public and how much harm is done. So he's now head of Fairwinds Associates for decades, and he's done a tremendous job. He was the first one to indicate those would be three meltdowns at Fukushima, the three different plants operating there on international TV.
That's pretty amazing. I did not know that. That's interesting. I didn't know that he was there at that same time on the op. Is that when he quit Fairwind? Is that when he quit the nuclear industry? Was during that Three Mile Island thing? I knew he quit it. I thought he quit after Fukushima, but he had quit long before that.
Oh, yeah. He's been an advisor, tremendous consultant, and he advises Beyond Nuclear and, yeah, everybody throughout the world. He is so solid because he's an engineer, and he knows especially how
Why do you think there's only one? I mean, are there other people that worked in the nuclear industry, like Arnie Gunderson, who have said, no, we're not going to do this? Are there other people who are walking away from it that you know of?
Well, I think possibly David Freeman, who was very high up in the U.S. government, I think, and also with the public power here, but he was... definitely part of California, you know, changing its energy picture. And he has been a big critic. And not only that, they proved in California, I don't know if you know this, about the customer choice acquisition law that passed in California, maybe 5 years ago. And they now have, from San Diego to Northern California, these setups that are public, and you can literally pick and choose what you want, and it's much cheaper, and now energy efficient and solar far surpasses any other source. You don't need gas. Yeah, they've proven it. And David Freeman was a big part of getting that started. But I believe he was trained somewhat in the nuclear and came out of it as a critic and a much wiser man. So seeing all the things that were going on that were being told that weren't true.
Now, who told you things when you were there? I hope you don't mind. I'm going to ask you a bit about this nuclear island exposure that you had there. I mean, you live 30 miles. That's very, very close to the meltdown. So when it happened, I mean, one of the things that you said is the cow's skin fell off, because Mimi Gurman was telling me she's going to be one of the presenters at the PELC panel that we're having on March 3rd. Dr. Helen Caldicott and Donna Gilmore are going to Skype in. And Mimi is going to be a guest, and I'm going to be the host there. And the time is brief. I wish I had only invited one or two people, but it's my first time. She wants to read about what happens to your body when you get exposed to a nuclear plant. And she was telling me that your skin actually melts.
Well, I imagine that's true. And
that
the
if
fact
you're
that
outside now, so those animals, the animals got exposed, but do you know if there were many people who got exposed themselves from the meltdown that had that experience?
Actually had the skin melt. I had not heard of that.
Okay,
no.
Good.
No, but what happens later is your immune system is so weakened that, you know, you get all kinds of conditions like shingles, your vessels. You get high blood pressure because your vessels don't operate as effectively. All kinds of symptoms show up, and then diseases, massive diseases such as cancer, finally come out. But, yeah, it is very devastating, and there's no joke about it. And we will have more and more cancers here. I mean, we have the record in women breast cancer. I don't know if you know that in this area.
No, yep. I didn't know that. Well, Oregon, I've discovered that Oregon is not so nuclear free. Albany is considered a fuse wrap site. There's a fuse wrap site right in Albany, Oregon. It's one of the most nuclear radiated places. There's an abandoned uranium mine in Lakeview. It's a fuse wrap site. It's one of their top priorities because it's an open, gaping hole uranium mine.
Well, Reed College right in Portland has its own nuclear reactor model, small nuclear reactor
model.
Yes,
but, and this is where I don't know the science, but I've heard that these reactors that are on the universities are not dangerous because they don't have the hot fuel to make it have a meltdown, that they can't possibly have an emergency like we would see at another facility.
Yeah, but what's their daily releases into the spring water that runs right by their campus?
You know, Matt Holstrunk is going to be here at the end of the month, and he's going to talk to me about the radioactivity levels. And he measures Corvallis in that area because that's where he lives. So I'll talk to him about this because I think he understands this quite a bit.
Yeah. One of the dangers, you know, when they made huge mistakes through this, you know, the economic considerations. I mean, there was a guy from a leader of one of the PUDs that came over to me after I spoke to 28 leaders of this nuclear power plant. It's the Bonneville operation, and all these different kind of coalesced in this legal package that's very complex and confusing. But after I spoke about Fukushima, and they are running a potential Fukushima if they continue running this plant, and he comes over to me and he says, well, I went to Fukushima, and I saw what those workers did, and all they did was ride bicycles around during the accident. We would have had it under control. I have an SUV. We have SUVs at, you know, the nuclear reactor in Washington.
Did he really? Wow.
I looked at him like he was crazy. He's crazy.
Wow.
You cannot control. And the damage that is done, my goodness, why is it that this element of denial it still exists with these kinds of tragedies happening all over the world? I just don't get it. So very hard for me to have the ability to communicate with people that are that locked in.
Yeah, well, they are locked in. Well, it's what John Goffman said. They're protecting the empire. That's the issue. This is why they don't speak rationally. They don't care if they kill millions or billions. They're protecting the empire.
Well, the empire is an illusion.
Yeah.
It's
a dangerous illusion.
Yeah. So why aren't people marching in the streets here? Because they keep that illusion going. Oh, I didn't know it's still operating, and I didn't realize it was dangerous. You know, how is that possible with these experiences, well-publicized, that people don't rise up on that issue? You see global warming all over the place. Climate Solutions, one of the biggest organizations in the Northwest and in California, I mean, it reaches, I think, even over to Europe, talks about gas. And I went to a few meetings, and they just don't want to talk about the nuclear.
No,
I've
had this conversation with one of the representatives of, what's it called, Natural Resource Defense Fund. I called them up directly and asked them. You know, they have a huge budget, like $300 million a year gets contributed to them. The guy of that nonprofit, the man who runs it, their CEO, makes almost $500,000 a year at a nonprofit. Okay, so this is their mentality. Now, it wasn't him, it was one of his underlings, but close to the food chain, you know. And I was calling him about their involvement with keeping two leaky nuclear facilities open in Illinois. We know they're causing massive problems. They basically said to me, they view nuclear as a more viable solution and more immediate solution to the coal industry. That coal, to them, poses a greater threat because the carbon that it's emitting will cause the collapse of our environment much faster than the harm that the nuclear industry will cause. And I said, that is a false paradigm, because while you're not seeing the effects of the harm it's causing today, the harm is being done. The difference is when coal happens, you see it immediately. Like, it's just a more of an immediate effect, but it's no less detrimental than coal. We ought to be on the same side of the fence. I don't think we ought to be on the nukers, the anti, you know, the nuke truthers and the coal people ought to be on the same side of the fence. Neither one is a viable energy source, period. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and meanwhile, after the accident, BGE went off the plant. The chairman decided, you know, with the pipes being so faulty, good answer. However, the countering answer was bring in Enron, sell the company to Enron. Well, look what happened. I mean, total corruption, gas all over the place, global warming up the yin yang, and Northwest Environmental, what is it called, NWEC coalition. It will not talk about nuclear. And the fact that you won't even be able to have a Northwest when there's a meltdown, and the radiation and all the cancers, the health costs, it's astronomical. So it's really working against itself as far as that goes. But they are endorsing Robert's latest report, I believe, and I hope that they change some of that conditioning of the thought patterns of the Northwest people that have no idea what's going on with that.
Well, this is Conoco's position, is that, what's he say? He said, he neglects to mention that Washington State is already 80% low carbon, mostly from hydroelectric and nuclear, so more wind is counterproductive.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You just wonder if there's
now, listen
kind
to
of
what he says. Now, you can understand this. I'll say these numbers to you because they sounded like gibberish to me. I read through them. I have no idea whether he's saying the truth or not the truth. He says, it does seem foolish to close a power plant 25 years ahead of schedule when it's producing energy at a price of 4.2 cents a kilowatt, 93% of the time with only 17 grams of CO2 per kilowatt, based solely on the hope that gas prices will not increase for 20 years. And Columbia Generating Station's price can't go up much in the next 20 years since their power purchase agreement signed already with Bonneville Power Administration is set at between 4.2 and 5.2 per kilowatt hour. But you know what I thought about that when I read that paragraph? Was he's saying it can't go up, but it can go up if it has a nuclear meltdown, if it has a problem, if there's any major catastrophe. The cost of it's already going up because of the cost of the cleanup of the problems that it's having around there.
Well, and also the latest report by Robert McCullough, I don't know if you got that yet,
yes.
$250 million in savings to the city of Portland alone. And that's with energy efficiency. And also other alternatives, but not coal and not gas. Solar is a good one because Germany has proven, the Chancellor of Germany, we have the same weather, and he's proven getting off nuclear is the smartest thing to do, and done it with a lot of energy efficiency, which the Germans are very good at, and also solar.
Listen to what he says. To replace Columbia Generating Station's 100 billion kilowatts per hour over 20 years will require construction of 1,714 of these 2 milliwatt wind turbines, 180 billion divided by 105 million is a total cost of 8.6 billion plus another 0.72 billion to connect to the grid, bringing the total life cost to 90.3 billion for 1 billion megawatts or 5.2 per kilowatts. So what he's doing is talking, he's adding in. Now, does he do this to the nuclear power plant where they add in the cost of building the nuclear power plant?
Well, not only that, do they not add that, but they also don't add the fact that how long does it take to even get it running? You know,
right.
I mean, maybe this Trump will be in forever and there'll be no regulations. Well, there are people that are still regulating in spite of Trump. And
yeah.
And it just takes forever because they can't satisfy all the necessities of making it so-called safe, baloney. There's no place to put the waste.
Oh, this is what he's saying. This is his thing. He's saying there's more wind energy than exists in all of the state of Washington right now, and that took a decade of intense building and a serious subsidies to achieve. Solar's even more expensive than wind. Warren Buffett, don't you love how they use him all the time, recently purchased the largest photovoltaic solar array in Bakersfield. So he talks
sure.
about all of this, and he's talking about how expensive it is, but the issue is they don't talk about the continuing cost of these nuclear power plants when they have a meltdown. It is going to have a meltdown. It's not a matter of if. It will have one. It's sitting on top of an earthquake.
Yeah, well, and it's already causing major damage. They just don't talk about it. You know,
well,
I mean,
why don't
who
you talk about some of the major damage that you know about this Columbia Generating Station? Because one of the things I'm doing is I think we need to call up Seattle City Lights and tell them to stop using the energy from Columbia Generating Station.
Well,
don't
they
you?
Already are. You know that they hired a general manager out of Texas who
yes.
is, premier in getting to alternatives quickly and energy efficiencies quickly. And they are working because Suant was elected to the council, and our Portland labor group gave her a lot of money and a lot of people walking the streets to get her elected. Great credit to them, because we can't get the Washington Labor Council to publicly come on board to close that plant, even though they know it's healthier for most unions not to pay into the expenses of the health care and the cost of operating that plant. But I think that will happen in the very near future. But yeah, they're sensible now. They're coming into the wiser end of the spectrum and long-lasting and sustainable. What's wrong with
Which
that?
Which is why Forbes is coming out with this pretty hard-hitting article. The McCullough reports make a big deal about other nuclear plant closures in the country as supporting of the shutting of a Columbia Generating Station. And this is what he says. Unfortunately, he misrepresents those closures. He cites Pacific Gas and Electric's recent announcement to phase out its nuclear reactors at Diablo Canyon in California over the next decade under a proposal jointly made with anti-nuclear groups. McCullough claims Pacific Gas and Electric will be replaced this nuclear energy completely with gains in efficiency and renewables. But the proposal's details do not say it at all. In fact, it calls for implementing renewables and efficiency equal only to a quarter of Diablo Canyon's generation. So this is how the nuclear industry makes. You asked me earlier, you were making a rhetorical statement like, why aren't people in the streets? This is why. It's very easy, timed. If a respected magazine like Forbes magazine is going to hire a political hack to tear apart and misrepresent through very careful writing, a very thoughtful piece of paper.
Well, you know, I mean, Duke Energy, for heaven's sakes, that's one of the biggest energy operators in the country. And the CEO, if they want to tell the truth, call him up. And he's so criticized anybody going into nuclear at this stage. And he's also going into alternatives and energy efficiencies. So, you know, Forbes magazine is not a representative of honest and clear thinking on what the energy future holds for the U.S., especially in the Northwest, because we got one of the best experts in the world that's come out with the best report you could ask for and has proven that it's easily done, and let's start doing it. What are we wasting our time for? I mean, don't go into small modular reactors. I went to the legislature, and this was about, I think, a year or two ago, and they were trying to push that again to keep putting money into the small modular reactors that Governor Kitzhaber had put into, right, at the Corvallis campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the legislature and did testimony, and most of them didn't even know what low-level radiation meant. But
right.
What was the economics. And the chair of the committee refused to let me continue to start my testimony because I had gone out way ahead to the bathroom and come back into the room. So she actually broke an ethics rule by refusing to do that. So she got up, and the guy from Hood River, who is pro-nuclear, got up and left the room. The rest of the people stayed, Republicans or otherwise, and listened to me. And they voted not to continue funding the SMRs. So, you know, there are people that are thinking on the ground that are starting to really get it. And even though it doesn't show in the general public, I mean, the general public certainly reacted to Fukushima, but they don't realize the plant exists up there. So the hardest part is making sure that people realize that that is very much there and very dangerous.
Yeah, it is there and it is very dangerous, and it does need to be stopped. I mean, that is really, I personally believe it's like one of the urgent things that needs to happen is that happens before we have any type of an, I mean, could you imagine this government's response right now if we had an emergency? It's in such disarray.
Oh boy.
Yeah. They wouldn't know what they're doing. I mean, seriously, I would not want to trust them. So let me ask you this, Nancy. What do you know, Fukushima's been going on for 6 years, right? And it is seemingly worse ever. I mean, like, can you comprehend? You've been paying attention to this nuclear stuff, I guess, since Three Mile Island. I imagine that's what made you an activist, an everyday activist, when you realized what happened there. But why?
Well, fair to our children. It's not fair to our children. Come on. Our grandchildren.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. It's not fair to our children and to our grandchildren. It's not fair to anybody. So the question is, why on earth do you think that they're ignoring it? What do you think the reason is? You've been doing this a long time. I'm asking you because you know the meat. You know all these people. You know all these agencies. Why do you think they're completely ignoring it for 6 years? And why on earth are we having an Olympics there?
Well, there's a lot of people vested in their careers and the salaries and the work that they do. And transitioning, they have not trained themselves. They should be. But the Navy got smart in California, and they're transitioning three bases to solar in California and San Diego, three major bases. So that's happening. But I think that there are reflections of, and we have control of the media so much today, but there are deep reflections and convincing reflections of the change that's happening, and it's happening so fast in California, and it will impact the Northwest for sure, because they have excess capacity. These people that have the CCAs are now sending us on the grid their spare electricity from California. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no, I did not know that. That's amazing.
Self every day, and they're so efficient now that they give high quality results. So we really are the slow down dinosaurs again. And that's what we were when we introduced five nuclear plants with Dixie Ray, the governor of Washington, you know, that Washington Public Power Supply System. And there's a guy named Daniel Pope who came out with a really good book. I believe he's out of Eugene, called Nuclear Implosion, the Washington Public Power Supply System. And that is absolutely devastating as far as their performance and continuing. So luckily, five of them were built, two were constructed. That's the only one that's produced electricity, is the one we're trying to get rid of. I mean, it's no longer functional. It's no longer, they bought these fuel rods that cost them another, I guess, almost $100 million that are worthless, and they're storing them. I mean,
wow,
nobody
really
wanted those. Yeah. Paducah.
Why did they buy them? That's ridiculous.
A deal between a Kentucky congressman and something, Bonneville Power, and the Energy Northwest.
A Kentucky congressman?
Yeah. Wanted this deal to happen, you know, because they're dying out there with some. But, yeah. So, That's in Robert's book as well. And my friend Dan Berman, who owns The Sun.
Tell us the name of that book again. What's it called? Nuclear Implosion, you said?
Yeah, Nuclear Implosions. Washington Public Power Supply System.
Yeah, let's see if I can find it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry to get you sidetracked.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, it's just so awesome in the era we're in many ways. You know, the doom and gloom, yeah, that's important as far as all the very serious problems that exist. But there are answers, and every day people are coming up with more answers and proving it. So we've got to just do it. Keep doing it.
You think that it's really just about them defending the empire, isn't it? That's really what it's about. That's actually the real reality. They know that it's causing harm. But how you know, so what actions, we have about 25 minutes left. What actions do you think the people how can people change their ordinary lives to include being an effective voice to stopping the nuclear power plants near them? Because yes, if you're living on the East Coast or in Texas or somewhere in Kentucky or something listening to this, you know there's a nuclear facility near you or a processing plant. I mean, what kind of actions can people do that's effective that will start changing the hearts and minds of decision makers?
Well, it started already. I mean, when they elected Sawant to the Seattle City Council. And that started here in Portland as well. And that group certainly could get city council to do a resolution to close that plant, because Bonneville headquarters is right here. And it's up to the administrator, Elliot Maines, to close the plant because it fails the market test. And that was set up 10 years ago by four governors. And they're not doing it. They're actually operating under the law illegally. So those things are happening. And the more pressure we put, and we'll get that resolution in pretty soon. And there's been a lot of, you know, the closing down of our city council because of young people realizing what a mess things are and they want changes. So you just got to, you know, we don't know timing exactly, but we think it's going to be fairly soon.
What will be? You mean closing the Columbia Generating Station?
The big push is one of them now. Seattle is already in the process of getting off contracts. And so here in the city, we can put the resolution through, and we've got the Northwest, what's that called now, Power and Kitchen Council operating. And they're saying energy efficiencies are going to answer a lot of the problems. So, and then you get the changes that will be the decision makers. They won't have any choice. They're going to go broke again with this old plant. That'll happen quickly, but I think the decisions will have to be made, and I think it's going to happen.
So, Nancy, do you think that, you know, let me ask you this. Is it easy for people to find out what the budget is for their nuclear power plant near them? You know what I mean? Is that an easy... Because I imagine that many of these nuclear facilities around the country, in our country, are over budget and actually really losing money and not making money. Is there any way to find that out? Is there some network?
Well, Robert's book is an excellent source. His latest book on CGS.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't mean just exactly CGS, but I mean, like, what I'm thinking about is, like, people around the country who may live near a nuclear facility. Is there a way to find out how economically viable it is? Are those things, do you know if those things are public?
Yeah, there's Arjun Makajani, who was the fellow that put up solar for President Carter, his group, IEER. That's the best way to look up their website. And there's also Beyond Nuclear, wonderful group. And there's the public power entity, Sacramento. And then there's David Freeman down in L.A. That you can get a hold of. And they have all kinds of information available. So in other parts of the country, all you got to do is go to those websites and at what your local contact is, and you'll be able to start transitioning. Mm-hmm. There aren't that many. There really aren't that many left. Illinois is one of the worst, and Robert is now working with Illinois for them to transition, which is unheard of.
Yeah, Illinois is really one of those really... I was livid last year when I heard that the NDRC actually worked with the legislature to keep those two leaking nuclear power plants open, two facilities open. I was livid.
It's NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council. I'm not surprised at all. I've had heads with Russia for years.
Check this out. Their headquarters is in New York City. They live right near Indian Point all these years, and they have said nothing. Indian Point is in a catastrophic state, and they're still living there. So that will tell you that they don't really care about the harm that nuclear causes, because tritium is pouring into the Hudson Bay at unprecedented rates. Still.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Mario Cuomo worked with us. Sean never operated. They took it down. But they had the gall to low power test it. Can you believe that? That utility company, for no reason, none, low power tested it, knowing that it was going to be torn down.
Would you explain the outrageousness of that? Explain what that means to our listeners, please.
Well, all those radioactive parts now have to be stored for almost 1 million years.
Wow.
And Lilco knew that this thing was going to never operate. They knew it. And they still had the gall to bring up, we blocked the truck coming up from the south on the coast of the eastern coast, and we tried to stop it, but they got it in, and it was a couple months later that it was announced it would not be allowed to operate under no evacuation possible on Long Island after the 3 miles.
Which nuclear facility is this?
The Shoreham. The Shoreham power plant. So they fully built it and lower power tested it, in spite of all that. That is how arrogant and cruel these people are. There were 25 of them came into the little Suffolk County legislature, which is at the eastern end of Long Island. And this is after 3 Mile Island, testifying totally false information, false. And it was horrifying. So that certainly added to my dedication of working with people. And Dr. Helen Caldicott came in from Physicians for Social Responsibility. And also Arjun came in with testimony. And we had other people from 3 Mile Island. It was very convincing. So we did a really good job.
Yes, but how did it sort of sway back the other way? How is it that, what has happened? What have you seen? I know we only have 15 minutes left, but I really, to me, that's an important, vital question. You've been doing this activism for a long time since then. How is it that now people are just so ho-hum, so inured, so don't really care about if it's having a major catastrophic event that we can't see, taste, or feel?
Well, I think the aspect of global warming and the way it's been publicized through gas operations and coal operations, people don't know what to think. People are trying to be positive for their children and for their future. I think that they're just trying to be providing them with something to hold on to for the future. And that's why the more programs you do like this, Lonnie, and I give you a lot of credit for putting this together, the more that we can get that into the psyche of people, the more you're going to hear, and it is happening, results. I mean, California is not publicized, but it is now hearing how many people that are listening to your show will know. It's real. We can do this. We are doing this. We don't need all this.
And there are other options. There are other solutions. We've all sort of accepted the idea that we really like this guy Konka in his article. He misrepresents the facts very blatantly. That's what he's being paid to do. That's exactly what he's being paid to do.
Yeah, they're bankrupt, sure. I mean, they go into the legislature with the SMRs. They just did in the state of Washington. We pushed back one more time, you know. They just keep coming back.
Well, so they decided to go to Idaho. They're putting an SMR together in Idaho. So they just go to the weakest link. But this is the thing. I mean, Nancy, think about how much nuclear contamination we have in our country. If you overlay the maps, the nuclear power plants, overlay them. I keep saying this. It's stunning when we think about it. Because this is contaminants that last for hundreds of thousands of years. A lot of it lasts a long time and causes big issues. Nuclear power facilities, where they off-gas regularly once a year, twice a year, when they have an emergency, things happen. Most of the time, safe, but they never tell us when they're off gassing as they do in Europe and warn their people. Here, they just aggregate it. So we have nuclear contamination, and then you overlay the map of where the fuse wrap stations are, and then you overlap, they lay the map of where the abandoned uranium mines are that they've identified the minimal 15,000, and they believe there's many more. And then you overlay the map of the nuclear testing bombing of the United States. There is a very there. If you do that, there's practically no land in our country that has not been tested for nuclear radioactivity. We have been their
That's true.
lab rats and continue to be.
Yeah, I know. That's true. And the health field, hopefully, will keep advancing. But I mean, there's really, you have to suffer it no matter what. I mean, once you're exposed. And but I don't want to give a sense of hopelessness to people and not want to address the problem, because if you start talking about radiation, people don't want to talk about it. That's the
Well, we
reaction I
do.
get.
Look, I think what we need to talk about radioactive contamination. I prefer to use that term instead of radiation. I have conformed to that since I heard Dr. Edward Gordon make the difference. Because there's radiation in everything, and that's how they use these words. They trick people into like subconsciously deciding it's not that important. So it really is, and it is just trash. It's waste. It's nuclear waste that is contaminated, but there are solutions to it. This is the ironic part. Is I had this guy on yesterday, and I hope he's on more often. His name is Shaziz. He's kind of a backyard scientist. He's like, look, we know that they have ways to use this. They just are not doing it. They're not using the laws of physics that they know about. And
Here's the interesting. You had mentioned Warren Buffett. You know that Warren owns the state of Oregon practically now with Berkshire Hathaway. He's going up the mountain purchasing real estate where it shouldn't be purchased. Blumenauer protected the mountain, Mount Hood. So Warren Buffett is now promoting this big dirty fuel transmission line as he's looking good by building this solar project in California. And he's trying to get a hub approved that would be on the border of Wyoming, because he owns PacifiCorp. We don't take away his license. I went down to city council in Portland. I said, take away his license. He's dirty. He's nuclear. He's cancer all over the place. Take away his license. What are we doing? You can take away his license operating Pacific Power. And what's he doing? He's expanding on Wyoming's border and California border, where he has some mines right across the border. This guy has got to go. So that's where people can really get proactive and feel they can accomplish something, because you get rid of coal. It's a major coal operation, number one. You'll get rid of Warren Buffett, and you'll start solving problems that really don't need to happen. So.
I don't mean to seem dense here, but can you get more? I mean, for people who don't understand the depths of what the threat that Warren Buffett is, because Warren Buffett portrays himself as like a progressive. He's like one of those good guys. Like the Berkshire Hathaway place has lots of grants to help people figure out alternative energy. Lots of big money they're throwing around there.
Yeah, well, he hasn't cut down his coal operations at all. Yeah.
He doesn't
And
plan
he's
on cutting him down. This is the issue. They have no intention. They are defending the empire. I mean, Goffin, when I read that last night, it really blew me away. They know that it's going to cost millions and possibly billions of people. It's going to harm them for sure. They know this, but they're defending the empire.
Yeah, here's the irony of Warren Buffett. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Well, one of his homes is right there near the river that was so flooded, his whole home would have been wiped away during that big, you remember the big downpour, and it came all the way from Montana down the river, and was so much flooding, it went into the Dakotas, it went into Missouri, and it
Yeah.
was near two nuclear plants, one right near his home too, that would have caused a major accident, because they would have too much water coming in and they couldn't control it. And his home would have been wiped out. Does the man make adjustments, major adjustments? No. He's proposing a hub. And my friends in California, Dan Berman, you might want to get in touch with him, who owns the Sun. I can give you his number after we get off the phone. But yeah, he is a hub for the dirtiest fuels. He wants to be that hub because he's insane. He's, how old is he now? I don't know. He's what, in his 80s? And everybody thinks he's just, oh, this wonderful insurance guy. That, oh, yeah, the baloney. He's one of the worst. So, you know, part of the reason our governor gave Nestle's our bottling water, you know, up in Cascade Locks, gave Nestle's our water for crying out loud. It's because these big corporations, we're too much of a corporate entity. The city of Portland's charter is based on corporations, not on the people. We got to turn those things around. So Warren Buffett should be kicked out of PacifiCorp, take away his license, and we don't need him. We can do a lot better. California's proved it. We've got great advisors out of California. We've got great advisors here. Let's go.
Well, I think that's really one of the main primary things that we need to do is remind our elected officials that we are not a corporate entity. We are not. Our government is not. I heard Senator Enzi say, well, you know, the United States is one of the largest corporations on the planet. It's a big budget. We have a lot to deal with here. And I called him immediately and left a message and said, no, we're not a corporate entity. We're a large government entity. This is what this conversation yesterday about deconstructing Washington. Look, they're talking about doing exactly what they did to Chile and what they did to South America. Why do you think that all those people are fleeing South America? Because of what happened with the neoliberal Alan Greenspan agenda got implemented and pushed on their governments. They deconstructed their social service system, their public education system, their medical systems. Argentina, if you get sick in Argentina today because of the crisis that was caused by this, they like to blame it on Hugo Chavez, but Chavez was piecing it back together until they killed him, and then corruption took over in his country, which is exactly how what happens with neoliberal agendas. They deconstruct it and say, oh, the corporations will be able to handle it because they want a good, healthy country to run their corporations in. No, they don't. They just become a big, gigantic mafia. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
It's stunning to me because this guy, Warren Buffett, you know, like he portrays himself to be a so-called liberal, and yet behind the scenes with this, what you're saying, essentially talking about Berkshire Hathaway invading Oregon, is that they plan on doing what, mining the hills of Oregon?
Well, he just bought Precision Castparts. Did you know that? That awful polluting, and the whole neighborhood is up in arms, and Aaron Brockovich came in.
What did he buy?
Horrible sickness, and he buys it after he knows all this.
But
he owns it.
What area?
It's in the southeast Portland.
And what did he buy? Say it again.
What's that?
What did he buy?
Precision Cast Parts.
Precision Cast Parts. Huh.
A couple years ago. Yeah, and if you want contact, I've got local people that are wonderful activists. So let me know.
Wow. I mean, it's from all sides, isn't it, Nancy? That's really the issue. Is we've got, like, it doesn't really matter what area you want to get active in because we're getting hit from all areas.
That's right.
I mean, that's the thing. There, it's a cacophony of just, you know, overwhelming people with so much corruption. And Precision Cast Parts is Titanium Metals Corporation. They make titanium stuff there?
Yeah, I believe so.
But they talking
cancers, and more cancers in every age group.
Yeah, well, that seems to me because it seems like they're using highly toxic parts there. Like maybe, do they use radioactive contaminants there?
Our own oversight group, the DEQ, I guess, the oversight did not enforce the fact they had to put in very simple, not that expensive, filtration systems that would filter that stuff before it got to the air.
Wow.
And the water. There's also a stream there. Yeah, for years, complete failure on the part of politicians, on the part of the state of Oregon. Horrible. So finally, there's this big uprising. You talk about public awareness. And it causes not just cancer. It causes nervous system damage. It causes all kinds of things. So that's happening. And, you know, people just got to stay with it and keep courage, just like we did on Long Island, and we finally took it down. I mean, that was a major thing. But I want to tell you, too, the son is the governor of New York now, Andrew Cuomo, and he wants to close Indian Point, but he doesn't want to close 9 Mile Point, 3 of them, I think, that are on the river up there. But, yeah, he's going after Indian Point for sure.
Well, he needs to go after Indian Point because it's a toxic, complete toxic mess. I mean,
Oh boy. Yeah. Yep.
You're like, yeah, they all are. I know. They all are.
We compare notes so that I give them the latest and they can use it. So that's good. We are an example. We really have shown with Trojans, and I give a lot of kudos. That was a tough decision on the part of the chair with the environment that was existing at that point and all the lies. He did a gutsy thing. He made a big mistake by the Enron sale, but yeah, he learned his lesson on that one. But, life goes on, and we keep trying to improve things, and I think we can. I think we just, as long as we breathe, we got to do something, and that's what we do. And,
yeah,
you know, we don't get published. But if, with your show and others, it's happening that people know.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, and I do hope people actually share our podcasts and share our show with their friends. Our station has a whole diversified group of different hosts. So if you look at our posts, there's a bunch of different other shows with different viewpoints. And I appreciate that. I can't say I always agree with some of their viewpoints, but I appreciate allowing people. That's why I really appreciate Jules, the producer of this radio station. She put it together and really has a wide variety of people whose opinions are being heard in the way without filter, non-commercial free, and allows our guests to say what they need to say in the way that they want to say it. I find it to be a very unique venue because there's really no pressure. So, one of the things, let me just do this. Let me plug our radio station, www.ucy.tv. It does run on contributions. So if people want to make a contribution, please do. And you can also go to, also, if you're contributing, you can go to No Nukes Northwest. It's No Nukes, NONUKESNW.org. If you spell it out, you get a different website. That's the nonprofit that was formed to close the Columbia Generating Station and bring awareness to it. So it is a formal 501(c). So, but please do share this radio station and our podcast so that people can hear these great interviews with these activists and people who have changed their lives. How many years have you been doing your everyday activism, Nancy?
40.
40 years.
Yep. I'm one of those, you know, tenacious ones. And I always have hope. But here's something out of Washington, too. The reason that they are more nuclear is that they have that whole culture of the Trident submarine up there at Tacoma. Think about that. The nuclear, you know, their nuclear fuel submarine. So think about that and how much that infiltrates the whole way of thinking in the state of Washington, those small areas. And
that's true.
Their
Senator Patty Murray, her dad worked at Hanford. She likes the nuclear industry. She thinks it's okay. But look, Nancy, we have about 30 seconds left. Boy, has this hour gone fast. I hope you'll join us again.
Okay.
Let's say yes, okay. Yes. Well, I will. Well, you know what, you guys, you've been listening to Nancy Newell, as she calls herself, an everyday activist with a focus on shutting the nuclear industry down. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate your 40 years of activism. This is a woman who has put on her courage feet. And you know what? She believes in happiness and optimism, and so do I. So we'll talk to you guys soon, and put your courage feet on. Take care.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of Anti-